Our reading today is from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 44. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man could have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. Reverend Rawlings will now bring us God's word.
Hi everyone, it's great to be able to be here for another week. Let's pray, shall we? Lord God, I pray that you might just give me the words, be able to expound this passage faithfully. Pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit might speak to each one of us and just reveal to us how we should to understand this passage and how we should apply it to our lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It was about 35 years ago that I got a taxi from Jerusalem around to Bethany. It's called El Azariah now. It's a bit of a tourist trap, but anyway, you get to where Lazarus's grave is. And there you pay a couple of shekels, they give you a candle. You go through a very narrow entrance and you walk down these stairs. It's a shaft grave, so it just goes down into the ground, sort of carrying the candle. I was just hoping the candle wouldn't blow out because there's a little bit of wind coming in through the door. It's dark and it's damp, and you reach the bottom, and there, I was there on my own. There's a sarcophagus, which is like a big stone coffin. It had half a lid on it. The lid had been broken, there was just sort of half of it still remaining. It didn't remain there very long, just enough time to make sure that Lazarus wasn't still there. And then I just walked my way up through this slippery, well-worn by this stage, stairs, back up and out through the door. And as I'm walking up the stairs, I remember thinking, how on earth did Lazarus get up these stairs with all his grave clothes on? But anyway, you come out through the little narrow doorway, and you know, as I came out, I was just reliving in my mind this passage that John wrote for us in chapter 11. And I just imagined that there's all these Pharisees and enemies of Jesus that would be standing there, you know, when Jesus came to the grave thinking, can he do it? Can he actually raise somebody from the dead? But in fact, There were no Pharisees. There were no enemies of Jesus. This was a little secret visit that Jesus had made, and the only people that were there were Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha, and a few friends that had gathered there. It wasn't far from Jerusalem, and it was done. Jesus had just sort of sneaked in without anybody else knowing. This is one of the I Am passages of John, and it's I am the resurrection of the life. And so John just wants to emphasize who Jesus is in this passage. Just consider for a moment how the story is structured. In verse 6 it says, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days before heading back to Judea, which was about 2 days' work, 2 days' walk. And Mary and Martha would have been waiting expectantly for him to come back. So why do you think he waited 2 days before he actually went back to where Lazarus was buried? You think he would have actually headed back immediately. But in fact, he delayed his return. And the answer for this is found in the popular Jewish belief in those days that for 3 days, the soul of a person actually stayed near their body, and there was always the hope of some resuscitation. However, on the fourth day, the soul of a person actually headed off to Sheol, which was the place where souls go to sleep, until the last day when they would be resurrected, as was outlined in the Old Testament. So after 4 days, and it was 4 days by the time Jesus arrived, although Jesus had raised Lazarus's daughter from sleep or from death, as we would say in Mark 5, and she'd only been dead a couple of hours at the most, and although Jesus had raised the widow of Nain's son, you remember there was a funeral and Jesus went by and he raised the little boy back to life in Luke 7, but he would have been only dead a number of hours because Jews always bury on the day in which a person died. So although Jesus had done these two wonderful miracles, after 4 days, as we see in this passage, nobody believed that Jesus could actually raise Lazarus from the dead, even though he'd done those other miracles earlier on in the gospel stories. So we look at each of the people in turn. His disciples, even when Jesus tells them, if you look at the early part of the passage, that Lazarus is dead and he's going to wake him up, they don't really understand what Jesus is talking about, and all their concern is that they're going quite close to Jerusalem, that this is dangerous for Jesus and for them. And Thomas reluctantly says to Jesus, well, let's go back and die with him. And then you don't hear the disciples mention it all through the rest of the story. And the two sisters, well, we have firstly Martha. When she hears Jesus has arrived, she comes out to meet him and she says to him, Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask of God, he will give it to you. So in the last part of that verse, you get the suggestion that, well, maybe she thinks Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead. You know, whatever you ask of God, he'll give to you, even now. But as you proceed through the story, then you know that that's not, in fact, the case. Because later on, when they come to the grave and Jesus says, take away the stone, it's actually Martha that speaks up immediately and says, but Lord, it's been 4 days. You know, it's really inappropriate for you to see the body now. And so she is not believing that Jesus could raise him despite that earlier verse. And Mary, she's the other sister of Lazarus, when she comes to Jesus, she just simply says the same things, falls down on her knees and says the same things as what Martha had said. Lord, if only you'd been here. Then she bursts into tears. And the friends of the family, they're watching what's happening, and they say, verse 37, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? So while probably all the people mentioned in the story believe that if Jesus had been there when Lazarus was sick, that he could have healed him, no doubt. But now that he'd been dead for 4 days, then there was no possibility. Only God could raise a person after 4 days. And that is why, in fact, Jesus delayed his return back to Bethany for 2 days, so that the miracle would be special. The shortest verse in the Bible is verse 35, and that is Jesus wept. Little interesting passage from Scripture, this. So what you see is in verse 33, Mary is weeping, as were her friends. And it says, John writes this in verse 33, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And then almost those same words are repeated in verse 38. Now, literally, and this gives us a little bit of an insight in the difficulty of translating the Bible sometimes. There's a number of really difficult passages in John's Gospel, and this is one of them. Because if you just take the exact words that Jesus said in that part of verse 33, he said, or John writes, he let out a snort like a horse might make. You don't want to write that into a translation because no one would actually understand what you're talking about. And so as you might imagine, Bible translators there's been some interesting interpretations on how to actually put that appropriately into English. And probably the best translation is, Jesus let out a groan of anger from his innermost being. And then that's followed by, where have you laid him? Come and see, they said. And then it says Jesus wept. Then again, in verse 38, then Jesus again came to the tomb and again he got angry. So why is there tears and anger? How do you actually explain this in the passage? So was it a rebuke for all those? Because nobody believed that Jesus could actually raise Lazarus from the dead. So was Jesus sort of getting angry because they wouldn't believe? Now, I don't think that. And I don't think that's really appropriate if you know Jesus and if you just look closely at this passage. A better understanding of this is that there's a mixed emotion shown in Jesus, the man, and Jesus as God, in what you see unfolding in this little part of the passage. Firstly, Jesus identifies with the anguish and pain of those he loves. He wept for Mary and Martha and for their friends that were there, as we would in similar situations. You know, you may have gone to a situation where you see somebody grieving and you're just caught up in your grief, in their grief, even though you may not know them or the situation. Jesus knew these people very well. And so he weeps. That's just part of him being a human being. At this man that he loved that had died in the prime of his life. However, I just want to remind you that Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he knows this in about 5 minutes. So that kind of gives you a different perspective, perhaps, on this side of his grief. But what about the anger? Well, it's not easy to sort this through because that's what the text said. But the best that I could sort of come up with in thinking about this is that it's not directed towards the people around him. But it's in fact Jesus as God, his reaction to the pain and grief that those he loves are forced to bear because of the impact of sin on a fallen world. Now, in about a week's time, Jesus is going to go to the cross. So we see the length that Jesus goes to defeat the scourge of sin on the world. And here we have Jesus showing anger at what sin has done to this fallen world. That's the best explanation. But if you were interested in this, go and have a look up some of the commentaries because there are many, many different angles and interpretations on that, and that's about the best I can do. But at the heart of this passage is the conversation between Jesus and Martha. On Jesus' arrival in Bethany, Martha comes to meet him. Lord, if only you'd been here. And on it goes. And in the reading, we can see, as we read this passage, that Martha knew a lot about who Jesus was. She knew that Jesus had a special relationship with God. She believed that those who had died would be raised on the last day. You see this in the passage. She even recognised that Jesus was the Messiah. So while she knew a lot, her understandings and everything she knew was accurate. Yet it was incomplete. And so we take up the conversation. Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. To which Martha says, I know that he will rise on the last day. And then the key verse in the whole of the reading, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So Jesus is saying, although you will die, you will never die. So it's a paradox. And Martha undoubtedly wanted to believe this, but she didn't really understand it. And so we see that this, for Martha, is going to be a day that's a very steep learning curve for her. as she sees what Jesus does in raising Lazarus. So we can look back and see what Jesus meant as we look at this passage. He's speaking on two different levels. Even though we die physically, those who know Jesus will never die spiritually. And then on the last day, when Jesus returns, we will rise or be raised physically. Now, that's pretty simple, isn't it? If you think about it, yes, it is pretty simple, but it takes a little bit of thinking about the wording that Jesus uses here. And this is where Jesus wanted to point Martha, and this is where he wants to point us and what he wants us to grasp. That in Jesus' very being, in his person, is the resurrection of the life. The moment that Jesus comes into your life, you have eternal life. Do you believe this? John wrote these words at the end of his gospel. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Do you believe that? Six years ago, my wife and I took my mum to India. She was 92 years of age, and we were going to see someone who we'd seen about 30 years earlier, who had mum had helped start an orphanage that he was involved in. And so she was pretty well for 92, and she'd been living with us at that time, and then Helen and I decided we would go to the US for a holiday. And I can remember that as I went out the door, I said to my mum with a smile, "You better be here when we get back." But she wasn't. My sister called, "My mum's not well." And so I spoke to her on Skype. Although she didn't really know, she thought I was there, but I was on the other side of the world. And I said goodbye, but I didn't think that she'd die. Then we started for home. And I remember as the plane touched down in San Francisco, there was an SMS that had come from my sister, "Mum's gone." And it was a shock. So we arrived home and I wanted to see her. So we drove up to Newcastle and I'm reliving this in my mind. And so as I went into the room that they'd prepared with Mum sort of there, as I entered, I looked at her and I remember my first thoughts, "Where is she? She's not there." There was a shell that had been my mum, but it was her eyes. The life had gone out of her eyes. And I saw there was a couple of little streams of water just running down from the side of her eyes, but they were lifeless. And I just stayed there for a little while and I ran my hand through her hair. And I thought of the times that we'd had, wonderful times that we'd had, and how sorry I was that I hadn't been there to say goodbye. Anyway, in less than a week, really, I'd organised and I did the funeral, which was pretty big. And then Helen and I went back to the US and continued our holiday. And the next thing that we did, we got on a train that went across Canada. And there were various people on this train. And there was this one particular guy, and he came up and he was talking to us, talking to me. And he asked me, "Well, how are things going?" And I told him, I said, "Well, my mum died just about a week ago." And he said, "Look, I'm so sorry." He said, "You must be so sad." And I said, "Well, I am." I said, "But you know, she's gone to be with Jesus, which is far better. And when he comes back, then I'll see her again." And it's sad for me to say this, but what happened next was this guy, he got up immediately and he walked away and he never spoke to me again during the trip, which took 6 days. And when Helen and I had come close to him, he would just avoid us and walk away and go in a different direction. My mother knew the Lord. Sometimes I'd walk past a door at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'd hear her praying. A few times the door might be open and I'd see her kneeling by the side of a bed in prayer. One day Jesus will return and she'll be raised to new life with him. But my mum found eternal life when she was about 12 years old. And that's when she asked Jesus to come into her life, to forgive her of her sins, to become a saviour. For her, death was just a door into something better, a door into the presence of Jesus. But of course, I'm looking forward to the day when I'll see her again. Do you know Jesus? Do you know his forgiveness and his presence in your life? You know, it's there for the taking. All you have to reach out and say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me. I want to know this eternal life that you came to win for me on the cross. Do you know, whenever death may come, that Jesus has conquered it for you? This is where Jesus pointed Martha to himself. And Jesus, and only Jesus, can take away the sting of death. Thanks for having me. I'm going to introduce the final song. And that's I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. Let's sing together, shall we?